Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and this is the Right Now Mastermind class for October 2014, How to Overcome Writer's Block, Procrastination, and Fear. We have a brand new conference call system this time, and so there will be a way for you to unmute yourself and get into the question and answer queue if you're interested at the end of the call. But first, I'm going to talk through how to get over and get through getting and being stuck due to writer's block, procrastination, or fear. So let me just start by defining some terms. Most of my clients and colleagues use the term writer's block when they get stuck, as in, you know, I'm dealing with a bad case of writer's block. And I think in my experience, writer's block is kind of a big old bucket term for all of the stuff that gets in the way of our writing. So it could be procrastination, it could be busyness, it could be fear, it could be plot problems, character issues, holes in our argument or story, you know, missing bits of research, or just plain procrastination. So today we're going to talk about how to diagnose and overcome writer's block, and then I'm going to go over some ways that we can prevent writer's block, and then a few fun ways we can kind of work with our issues with writer's block, and then we'll have some time for question and answers at the end. So what some famous writers have said about writer's block, Steve Martin said, writer's block is a fancy term made up by whiners so that they can have an excuse to drink alcohol. Terry Pratchett said, there's no such thing as writer's block. That was invented by people in California who couldn't write. Jared Kent said, writer's block, I just drove around it four times. All my favorite writers live there. So there's some funny ways to kind of think of writer's block, but it's not so funny when it happens to you. So let me just start with a few basics. The first is that writer's block happens. Every writer, even the most experienced writer, encounters writer's block from time to time. Second, most writers develop superstitions around writer's block and complicated rituals to prevent it. So, most of the writers I talk to as a coach and many of the writers I talk to at writing conferences as colleagues talk about their superstitions. And it might be, well, I need a perfectly quiet place to write. I have to wear a certain sweater. I have to sit at the perfect table at the coffee shop. Some certain things have to be aligned in order for me to write. Mine has always been kind of, unless I get to work right after my morning walk without being interrupted by something, I'm not going to get any writing done today. But that's not true. It's just a superstition. I have been able to write at all times of days. Well, kids are throwing up, and there's lots of chaos going on in the house and chaos in my life. So, you know, superstitions are part of what we deal with, but, you know, we don't need to hold on to them. There's many ways we can overcome writer's block and write. Third, accepting that writer's block happens can be the first step in overcoming it. Most of our angst as writers comes from worrying that we're going to get blocked or hoping that we won't get blocked. When we accept from time to time that we're going to experience writer's block and that we're going to get over it, then we can plan for it. We can develop tools to diagnose and overcome it. When we have the tools, when writer's block is simply a problem to solve, then it's much easier. It's kind of like, you know, when you have to move a big piece of furniture into your house and you're blocked, you know, it's hard to get it in, but you figure it out, you plan, you problem solve, and then you do some finessing, and you eventually get the furniture through the door. So it's the same with writer's block. If we can kind of plan for writing, problem solve when writer's block happens, and then, you know, kind of address it with a little finesse, we're usually able to overcome it. So now that we know that kind of writer's block is just one of those things that happens, and that that it's better if we plan for it and prepare for it and develop some tools, I want to talk about five reasons we get writer's block and how to approach each. When I work with clients writer's block is something that we address a lot. Excuse me. And one of the things I've noticed is for every writer, writer's block is a different thing. And for each writer, writer's block can happen and be different things at different times in our life or with different projects. So it's important to do some diagnosing, and we're going to talk about how to do that later. But first, let me talk about what I think writer's block can be. So here are some of the common causes we get blocked, or the common causes we get stuck, or that we procrastinate writing. And the first and really most common is a content crisis. As I look at my own writing and the work I do with clients, mostly what I see is that writers are getting stuck because they're having content issues. And this usually falls into one of three areas, either information issues, structural issues, or audience issues. So let me take each of these in turn. So sometimes a writer's block is an information issue. So you hit a speed bump in your writing, and many writers report, well, I'm just not sure how to write the next bit. So maybe it's that their characters are undeveloped or unbelievable, or have some other kind of problem that they haven't really figured out yet. Or maybe they've hit a patch in their nonfiction book where they just don't know enough to write the next part. They need to do a little more research or talk to some of their potential audience members. Or maybe they've hit a part in their book that they're not sure how to write. So maybe it's a central point in a nonfiction book and they're not sure if they want to communicate it as a story or as a series of definitions or as a quiz for the reader. Or perhaps it's a piece of a fiction book and they don't know how the main character is going to find out that her husband is cheating on her, and so they have to work out that information. So that's an informational block. That's just a matter of figuring something out, and then it's usually easy to move forward. The second kind of content crisis is a structural crisis. Sometimes when we feel bogged down or muddled while writing a simple concept or story, chances are the structure doesn't fit the type of information we're writing about or the audience we're writing for, or there's not enough structure or too much structure. Structural blocks occur when we don't have an outline or the outline doesn't work. Either when we have a structure for our book that doesn't work, or we don't have a structure. Sometimes it's because the structure is too tight and our ideas are bigger than the structure. And sometimes it's that our structure, just we just don't have enough of it. And a third content crisis is sometimes we get writer's block when we don't know who we're writing for. So we're struggling to put together a book or an article because we're writing for everyone, and we know there are different ways to write for different groups of people. So let's say we're writing about anxiety disorder. We will approach the topic differently depending on if our readers are people who suffer from anxiety disorder or people who help people who suffer from anxiety disorder. So the fix for the content crisis, so remember the content crisis can be three things, either an information gap, a structural problem, or an audience issue. And the fix is usually quite simple. It's just kind of looking at where the bump is. So what's not working with the plot or the structure, the audience, the content, and then figuring out what the fix is. And sometimes that takes a few days of thinking. It's not just the writing. It's kind of thinking through, how am I going to make this work? So I had, writer's block for years before I wrote Write-A-Thon. I had all of these ideas for how I wanted to talk about writing and the writing life, but I didn't have a good structure to fit it into. And it took a while for me to kind of come up with the structure that was going to work for this kind of bucket of information I'd been carrying around and talking about for years in smaller pieces. So that was, I felt like I was horribly blocked. But as I looked deeper, it was like, oh, well, this is just a block of, just not understanding how I'm going to structure this. So if you find yourself blocked in terms of information, structure, or audience, the fix is to kind of figure out what the problem is, fix it, and move on. The second reason I see writers being blocked is because they're overwhelmed. They're trying to take on too many tasks at once. So instead of writing, they're worrying about editing issues. You know, they're thinking the dialogue sucks, or this doesn't quite work, or am I going to have questions at the end of each chapter, or, you know, what if I added another character's point of view? Or when they're doing their daily writing, they're also worried about research issues. You know, did people in the 1800s eat sandwiches? Do I have to have a study to back up this assertion in a nonfiction book? Or what I find a lot of happening with clients today is that they're really worried about publishing questions and platform questions. So will I go traditional or self-published? Do I want an agent? Am I building my platform? Am I blogging enough? So they get so overwhelmed with all these different tangents that they can't really focus on their work at hand. So the fix for me is usually to really focus on what you need to do, the work at hand, and then take smaller steps. Focus only on what you can control and let go of the rest. You know, you can't control and you don't need to control the publishing process or the platform when you're in the process of writing your book. You simply need to kind of move forward and write your book. And you can't deal with all the editing issues when you're writing the book. You need to kind of tap into your creative side. Sometimes it can help to create a worry file. So you create a file that deals with your plans for publishing the book, your worries about the book, your plans for platform, any kind of information that you need to kind of keep a handle on so that you don't lose it. You don't want to lose these ideas, but you don't want to spend a lot of your time worrying about it when you're trying to just get the draft out. And you want to keep writing. If you're in the middle of National Novel Writing Month or in the middle of drafting your novel or your nonfiction book. The third problem I see people encountering, or the third kind of reason people get writer's block, is that they're dealing with shiny object syndrome. And this is usually people who are procrastinators. This is a term I developed when I was working with a client who had trouble getting to a current project because there was always a new project or idea waiting in the wings. So you might have shiny object syndrome if you flit from idea to idea, or if you have so many ideas that you have trouble choosing one, or that the minute you commit to an idea, you find six better ideas that might sell more and make you more money, or you come up with new ideas while working on your current project and can lose a morning or a few days falling down the rabbit hole to explore them. So I think this is super common among writers, especially professional writers, because we make our money by coming up with lots of ideas and following them through in terms of articles, books, or other projects. So I work with a lot of people who are blessed with what I call shiny object syndrome. So my encouragement to you is choose the idea you have the most energy for and make a commitment to stick with it for a set period of time. So maybe, you know, okay, I'm going to work on this project for National Novel Writing Month and just see how it goes, or I'm going to work on this project for this week and see how it goes. For those of us with lots of ideas, choosing just one project can be really difficult. It's like tying a hand behind our back. So sometimes it can be helpful to have two projects going at once. And that way, when one is kind of stuck, you can move to the other one. I often have several projects going and then just schedule them. And then when one becomes more needy, I can put the others on back burners. Always keep an idea folder or a journal or a file, somewhere that you can kind of record all the things that you think about so that when you do get stuck, you can always go back to the idea file and work on it, or when you're ready for your next project, you can go back to the idea file. So some of my clients keep an online folder. Some keep Pinterest boards. Some keep just a plain old project notebook or a journal that they write all their ideas in. I usually just write my ideas in my plain old ordinary journal and then go back and read through them over and or at various points. Finally, give it, if you're a shiny object syndrome person and you like new ideas, give yourself time each week to dig in and into a new idea and pursue it, kind of like scheduling procrastination. So rather than feeling like, oh, man, I'm just evil, I'm, you know, not working on my book, just say, okay, you know, I'm going to give myself 1 hour this week to procrastinate and work on another idea. And I can do it during any of my 5 writing sessions this week. And that way, you know, you get the kind of the fun experience of kind of cheating yourself and running off on a tangent, but it's not taking over your life. So that's the third thing. So just to review a bit, we've talked about some of the causes for writer's block. The first one is a content crisis. The second one was just being overwhelmed. The third is shiny object syndrome. The fourth is basically self-doubt or the help I'm not good enough syndrome. I think another reason we get stuck is that we have a failure of courage or a failure of nerve. Our lack of self-confidence might kick in, and every single negative thing that anyone has said about our writing returns to our brain just as we're sitting down to write. So we think, you know, I'm not good enough, I don't have an education, I did poorly in high school English, and suddenly we're paralyzed. We don't feel like we can write. And then, you know, on top of that, we might kind of do the comparing ourselves to others. So we start comparing our rough draft with every other finished draft. So we might have a stack of books that we've been looking at as kind of good examples of our genre. And so we begin to look at these great examples of our genre and realize our rough draft does not meet up to them and think, well, we'll never meet up to them. So, you know, the first thing is in terms of a fix, is just be compassionate with yourself and realize that your rough draft is your rough draft. And that published book was once a crappy first draft and maybe took, you know, 10 years to get to print. You know, you only see it in print, but it may have taken a long time to get there. The second thing is just to make a list of your successes and review it regularly. Some writers talk about keeping an I'm So Great file, you know, some sort of either online or tangible record of the people who've written to you and said, wow, I really like your writing. Just lists of your successes, things you've sold, any kind of reminder that you're a working writer and doing well at your task. You know, another thing to think about is making a list of all the people in the world who have succeeded despite not having everything that you think you need to have. So if it's a college education, if it's a certain kind of experience, if it's a certain kind of connection, if it's an age, you know, start a list of people that you admire who have made it despite not having those credentials. And then, you know, acknowledge that your draft that you're working on right now might suck, but it's going to get better. So, you know, you've seen your other final drafts and they rock. So you know this one is going to rock shortly. So that's the fourth reason I see people getting blocked and how to overcome it. And the fifth reason is very common. The fifth reason I see people getting blocked are distractions. Some of us get blocked simply because we're distracted by life. You know, we might have other projects we need to finish. We might have children or dogs or partners in our office that need us. We might even have loud neighbors who are pulling our focus away from work. Or we might be so kind of connected to social media that we're losing hours on social media, and that's really interrupting our writing time, and we kind of procrastinate our writing with social media. We can also experience writer's block just because we're tired or sick or just not at our best. I'm a morning writer, and on the days when I don't make it to my morning writing session and end up having to write later in the day, sometimes I will sit there for a couple of hours and just struggle to write something that I could usually write in 20 minutes the next day. And in those occasions, it's better to just give up and write the next day. So the fix when you're experiencing writer's block because you're distracted or exhausted or not well is to, first of all, you know, just figure out when you write well and schedule your writing time to match, if at all possible. The second is to dump any of the distractions that you're encountering regularly, including your social media feed. I think a lot of writers write with their social media feed open just so that they don't miss anything. And if you are able to do that, that's awesome. I think it's very hard to write with your social media field open because it's very distracting. So I would encourage you to dump that distraction. If you know you find the stuff in your house distracting, then leave. You know, go to a coffee shop, go to a library, go to one of those, you know, rent space from one of those off-site offices where people share space, just to get yourself a little place where you can work without distractions. And then if you do show up to write tired, sick, or whatever, don't expect so much. You know, do what you can and move on. Chris Beatty talks about, you know, during National Novel Writing Month in his book, No Plot, No Problem, that you really shouldn't take more than 2 days off from the book. But if you do have to take time off, at least do like a 20-minute dip into the novel. And I find it's helpful just, you know, I'm kind of in the process of getting ready for National Novel Writing Month, so I'm sketching out some scenes and some outlining. And it even the days when I'm feeling like, wow, I just have so much to do, I have client work to do, I like to get in there and just put down a few ideas, maybe name a few more characters, put a few more ideas about setting in there, just so I'm getting a little bit of that novel written, getting a little time into it, even though I'm tired and can't really work on it. So let's go back quickly and review just so... So we're all on the same page before I start talking about diagnosing. So when it comes to writer's block, most of us treat it like a big old like thing, like writer's block, procrastination. It's all the same thing. When really it can be many different things. And some of the things it can be are, first of all, a content crisis, either around information, structure, or audience. Second, it could be just that we're overwhelmed because of trying to do too many things at once or try to think about too many things at once. The third thing is that it could be shiny object syndrome. We could be distracted by other ideas and want to go pursue the other idea versus what we're working on. The fourth thing could be a crisis of self-confidence, you know, help, I'm not good enough. And the last thing are just the kind of many physical distractions in our life, either how we feel, how our families feel, how our neighbors feel, what's going on in the world, and so forth. So how do you diagnose writer's block? Because I think the key to overcome writer's block is to diagnose it and then fix it, to kind of put on our scientist hat and collect data. And truthfully, when I work with clients, this is really the key. It's not to say, okay, look, here's my plan. This is do this and you will never be blocked again. It's really more of, okay, what are your strengths? Where do you get blocked? And how can we create a plan to help you kind of leap over that block or, you know, tiptoe around it or figure out a way not to get blocked? So what I'd like you to do as your homework from this call is to really take some time over the next week with your scientist hat on and look at the last 5 times you experienced either writer's block or procrastination or when you felt fear when you were going to write. And you were able to overcome it and write, but you still were experiencing that, I don't know if I want to do this. So ask yourself these questions and kind of do some journaling around this. Ask yourself kind of what happened. So write a short summary of what happened during the time that you were blocked. And then ask yourself, well, what was going on with the writing? You know, what was I doing? What point was I at the writing? What had I been writing about before? What was I about to write about? What was I thinking about in terms of the writing? And then write a little bit about what was going on with you and your surroundings. So, you know, were you tired? What was going on in your life? Where had you been the night before? What were you planning on doing that day? And then write about how you handled it, how you handled experiencing being blocked, and then if the solution worked. Now, it may be hard to remember the last five times you were blocked, and so what you might want to do is take, you know, a week and just kind of look at your writing every day and see, you know, if you're feeling a little blocked, just do some of these notes. You know, what happened? What was going on with the writing? What was going on with you? How did you handle it? And did the solution work? And then maybe if the solution didn't work, why do you think it didn't work? What wasn't working about it? I think it can be very helpful to do that kind of thing. And then you can look back at my five categories and say, you know, was it one of these things? Was I dealing with a content block? Was I dealing with feeling overwhelmed so I couldn't focus, or too big a step so I couldn't focus? Was I dealing with shiny object syndrome or self-doubt or just distraction? So all of those things can really help you kind of think about what was going on, and then you're able to put together a plan to fix it. Now, at the end of the call, I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm happy to do a reduced fee writer's block diagnosing session with you if you want to do that either before or during National Novel Writing Month, because I think it can be really helpful just to talk to someone and get an idea of what's going on. So I want to talk a little bit about preventing writer's block before we get to questions, because I think that you know, the best way to deal with writer's block is to prevent it. And preventing it is not the same as the superstitions I talked about at the beginning of the call, because superstitions aren't usually real tools for preventing writer's block. They're things that we do, like wearing our crown or our favorite necklace or our best shoes that, you know, oh, these are my lucky shoes, and if I wear them, I'm going to be able to write. Or if I have my good laptop, I'm going to be able to write. Or, if I have my perfect table at the coffee house. Or if they have my cookies that I like. So these are things that you can actually do to be less likely to encounter writer's block. I also work as a wellness coach, so I'm a real big fan of preventive medicine, like using exercise for health and eating well for better health. So here's some things that I found really help prevent writer's block. The first is to journal. I think the more we write, the less difficult it is. I've been a pretty faithful journaler most of my life, but in the last few years I've had, you know, periods where I don't journal. And I'm currently in a period where I'm journaling every day, and I'm finding that it has really increased my ability to write. And so the less I journal, the harder I find it to write. The more I journal, the easier it is to write. So I find that, you know, even when writers just do morning pages, even when you use your journal maybe just to plan the day or jot down some ideas, it will loosen up your writing muscles and help you to attack the page. So if you're feeling blocked or scared about writing, just write something, write anything, because the more you write, the more you write. The second thing I think really helps prevent writer's block is planning the big picture. So I want to apologize those of you who are pantsers for National Novel Writing Month, who kind of like just to see what happens. I think the best way to prevent writer's block is to have some sort of a plan for your novel or nonfiction book. It doesn't have to be a detailed outline, because I feel like a detailed outline kind of takes away some of the excitement of writing. I like to kind of figure out what's going to happen next. So I'm not sure I want to know everything, but I do like to have kind of a rough outline in a novel, and I do like to have a rough list of things I'm going to write about in a nonfiction book. So if you have a big picture idea of how you're going to tell your story or explain your thesis, it's going to be much easier for you to write and much less likely that you're going to encounter writer's block. The third thing I encourage people to do for preventing writer's block is to plan the small bits. Often writer's block is simply a moment of panic. You know, what am I going to say? How am I going to talk about this? And one thing I do when I work with kids, I'm trained by the National Writing Project, and I teach writing to kids at libraries and at schools. And one of the things I we do with kids and we're trained to do with the National Writing Project is give them kind of pre-writing exercises. So charts to fill out or mind maps to complete. And mind maps are what I use to pre-write. So whenever I'm looking at a small bit, either a scene or article I'm writing or a short piece of a nonfiction book, I usually mind map out what I'm going to talk about, which is just kind of brainstorming on paper. And then I'm not really facing a blank page. I am able to work from this mind map or list of ideas, and it's much less scary. So that's one really helpful way to overcome or prevent writer's block. So we've got three so far: journaling, planning the big picture, planning the small bits. The fourth is take smaller steps, which is one of my fixes when you feel overwhelmed. But I think taking smaller steps is a way to prevent writer's block. I went for months with revised novel on my to-do list and never did a thing. And that's because that big step just seems too big for our brain. And there's actually research that says that when we try to do something really big, like write a book, lose weight, stop smoking, that our brain panics and we kind of go into that fight or flight response. And so we get stuck, we get blocked. And the way to get unstuck from a creative block is to tiptoe around it, to take the smallest steps possible, the smallest chunks we can take to get towards our goals. So if you're finding that writing a scene is too much, just write an exchange of dialogue. Or if you're finding that writing, a whole article is difficult, then just write a piece of it, one idea from it. And you kind of get your book done paragraph by paragraph or sentence by sentence. It's not the whole thing. So the fifth way that you can prevent writer's block is to get connected to purpose. One of the most helpful tips I've ever gotten on writer's block came from an interview I did several years ago with a local Milwaukee writer, Jeffrey Gingold. And he spoke about being on one of these big national talk shows about his book, Facing the Cognitive Challenges of MS. And I asked him, were you afraid? Because here you are on national television facing millions of people. And then he said, when you're doing something to help people, fear doesn't matter. And that really helped me to see the reason I was writing. Because whether you're writing a novel that's going to entertain people and give them kind of a break from their daily difficult life, or you're writing a nonfiction book that's going to help them by teaching them something or sharing a process that helps them with something, you're doing something that's going to help people. So ask yourself about your project. Why am I doing this? What's my purpose here? Am I doing it to help people, to encourage people, to create joy, to entertain? Whatever it is, let your purpose be more important than your fear. So if you're connected to why you write, you're always going to be able to put words on paper. I do a lot of teaching on writing to transform. And I do a lot of teaching in the library where I have to approach teenage children. And teenagers are some of the scariest people in the world. But I know that what I'm doing is going to help them, and it's going to be fun for them. So that kind of takes away my fear. It seems like the purpose overcomes fear. And so I think purpose can overcome our writer's block if we can just see the reader as we're writing and do something that's for them. And so a few more things. I have 10 tips total for preventing writer's block. The next thing, number six, is know your best time of day to write and write then. Schedule your writing sessions at that time of day because it will just go easier. And really schedule them in your calendar. Don't wait till you feel inspired. The seventh tip is to create a distraction-free writing zone. So turn off your cell, turn off your Twitter feed, and write for a set period of time before you go online again. I try to set my timer for an hour these days so I can at least get an hour in before I go on email and do my business stuff. The eighth tip for preventing writer's block is just give up perfect. William Stafford was once asked, what do you do when you experience writer's block? And he said, I lower my standards and keep writing. Stafford was known for the large amount of poetry he wrote in his life. He got up every morning at 5:30 or 4:30 to write and then to run, usually because he wanted to, when his kids were little, he wanted to be able to get up and get his writing in before they got up. And so on the mornings that he felt the pressure, he just said, I'm just going to lower my standards and keep writing. I'm going to move forward even though perhaps this won't be the best work I do. And one of the things I've noticed is that when I move forward through that block, I sometimes come up with ideas that are really interesting and good insights for the book I'm working on. My ninth tip for preventing writer's block is to take a break before you get so blocked that you feel discouraged. There are some things that scientists know help us regain our attention span and come up with novel ideas. So time away from work during a repetitive task leads to the eureka effect. So anytime you can take a little break from your writing and maybe do the dishes or fold laundry or just go for a walk, that's going to help you. And psychologists also believe that when we spend time in nature, we kind of reset our ability to pay attention. So that ability to pay attention and write decreases during the day. So if you spend all day at work and then you're coming home to write, it could be helpful to take a little walk in the park or spend a little time gardening. And that's going to reset your ability to pay attention, and you're going to be able to focus again, and thus you'll be preventing writer's block. So the final way to prevent writer's block is to create some things for you to do so that you can work around the block. So, you know, we're all going to have times when we get to something where we really are blocked. You know, we really don't have enough information to write, or we're not interested in writing it, something's wrong. And that's when it's helpful to have either a second project to work on or another part of the project to work on, some research to do, because then you're not wasting your writing time. You're actually doing something, and you're going to feel productive if you do some of that. So if you work on that, you're going to feel like, wow, I did something. So I finished something, and so now tomorrow I can go keep going. There's a great story about Nabokov who wrote Lolita. And he wrote all of his novels on 3x5 index cards. And so when he would start his writing period, he would just shuffle the cards until he found a scene that had energy for him, and then he'd write from there. And when the scenes were done, he'd just rearrange the cards until he had a novel's order. And I think that's really helpful. When I get to a part where I'm really stuck, I think, okay, I'm just going to write a different part. I'm going to write a part I'm more interested in. So let me just repeat this quickly, and then I want to give you a final bit, and then we're going to open the question and answer queue for you. So if you want to, let me turn this on. If you want to get into the sorry, I'm learning this new stuff. So here we are. If you want to get into the Q&A queue, you press *6, and then hopefully I'll be able to figure out how to get you on the line. So press *6 if you have a question and want to get into the Q&A queue. Just to repeat, to prevent writer's block, journal, plan the big picture, plan the small bits, take smaller steps, get connected to your purpose, know your best time of day to write, create a distraction-free writing zone, give up perfect, take breaks, and work around the block. So, and a couple of fun things. So if you're impossibly stuck and you're just like, I am never going to be a writer, I don't know what to do, life sucks, and believe me, I have been there, especially in these last few months when we've had all these life crises, and nothing I try to write feels fun or interesting. A few things that you can try. One is a writing exercise. I do a lot of writing with kids in the library, and so we're doing a lot of small writing exercises, and that is super helpful for me in trying those exercises with them, because it kind of frees me up. Nobody expects anything to be perfect. I'm helping them to free up their own anxiety. So that's a very helpful thing. So get a book of writing exercises and just play with things. And if you're doing National Novel Writing Month, you can always take the writing exercise and use your own characters. A second thing that I think can be really helpful if you're impossibly stuck is just to look online for contests or calls for filler material. So those short bits that you see at the front of magazines are usually written by people like you, freelance writers. And so if you see some like calls for, we really need people to write short, jokes or short whatever, just to come up with some fun things like that and get them out there, or some fun contest things, jingles or whatever, can help you kind of break that block. And then a third thing to do is to do some journaling around your personal kind of psychological issues. And I know that sounds very, very heavy, but I don't mean it to be. There are lots and lots of books on journaling exercises to help you kind of talk about your past or even imagine your best future. And so doing some of those can be great ways to kind of free your spirit. So we're at the time for questions and answers, and there is someone in the answer queue, so I'm going to unmute you. Hi, what is your question?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Hi, it's Naya. I just wanted to know, with 4 and 5, I could you explain more the difference between taking smaller steps and 3, plan the small steps or plan the small bits?
Yep. You want me to differentiate these two a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, good question. Thank you so much. And if anybody else wants to get in the queue, it's *6. So planning the small bits is doing some pre-writing before you actually start writing. So if you come and you've got a small step, then you can plan that step. So let's say your small step is that you're going to write a scene between Jane and John. And so you're going to take a piece of paper and just kind of mind map what might happen. Oh, they're going to have a fight. No, they're going to make love. No, they're going to do this. So you put all your ideas of what might happen, what they might say to each other on paper. And that's kind of pre-writing. And then step 3 is just take smaller steps. So if you look at your list of small steps and one is write scene between Jane and John, and you say, wow, that's really too much for me because I want to cover a lot of areas in this scene. So then it's like, well, maybe I need to take smaller steps. Maybe I need to write opening scene between Jane and John, then write love scene between Jane and John, then close out the scene between Jane and John. So that one scene just became 3 small steps. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. If anybody else wants to get into the caller queue, it's *6 if you want to ask a question. As I'm kind of waiting for people to get into the queue, let me let you know that when I send out the recording today or later this week, and it may be Monday because I'm off to a conference on Friday, I'm going to be sending out a special offer to everybody in the Mastermind group, and that's that you can get a 45-minute Fix Your Block session for only $75, and this is usually $100 to $125. So we have someone new in the Q&A queue, and this is caller 734. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Rochelle. How are you today?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I just want to tell you that I have been with you for years, and I absolutely think you hit a grand slam today. It's like you're talking just to me.
Okay, thank you.
So for a while, I've known enough, but I haven't really completed many of the projects I've started. Mm. So I think what resonated was not good enough. And then, of course, everything else with the shiny objects and content and overwhelm, you find excuses or reasons why you can't pick it back up. What actually causes you to say, and I know I have to get connected to a purpose, But at what point do you say, you know what, I'm good enough, I'm going to do this thing, and here's my deadline? I mean, is there a trick or something? Because I seem to be stopped there.
Okay. So, you know, there's a couple of ways to give yourself deadlines. Are you writing fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction.
Okay. And do you have a sense of an audience, people that you're writing for?
Yes.
And do you have any way to kind of test market some of your stuff with these people?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And have you done that? Have you, like, blogged for them or?
You know, I'm also a professional speaker, so when I create new content or I create my ideas or I write, I have a live audience to test it on and get immediate feedback. So I've done that, and people come up to me and say different things, and I make mental and physical notes. Then I go back and add it in, but I just can't pull the trigger to finish.
Yeah. So I think, you know, what I would suggest, and you know, this might be better, you know, talked about in a longer call, but I'm thinking that it might be helpful for you to create some sort of a deadline for yourself.
Okay.
And there's many ways you can do that. And being a speaker is an awesome kind of structure for that, because you have speaking engagements coming up where you're going to be able to sell things in the back of the room.
Yes.
So, you know, to kind of think about, okay, at what point am I going to want to have something that I can sell, you know, or something that I can give away, or, you know, something that's a product that I can bring to a certain event, or even, sometimes what you can do, and I've heard of other speakers doing, is negotiate kind of a truck sale of your book before it's written. So you negotiate that everybody who comes to Conference X in a year is going to get a copy of your brand new book,
okay.
Which means that you've got to get it done.
Right.
And that's just a matter of kind of working out a schedule, working back from, like, how long is it going to take you to write it and get it edited and get it printed up and so forth, and then give yourself enough time to get it done so you don't, like, totally create panic in yourself. And it can be helpful to have a coach or a partner who's working with you. It can be helpful to have some people in the publishing process who are needing things from you at a certain time. Even if you've hired them, they're still gatekeepers who are helping you get your stuff out. And those might be your deadlines. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I love your offer. I'm definitely taking you up on the Fix Your Blog.
Oh, good.
So thank you very much.
Good. You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling today. Anybody else have? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you say something?
No, I just want to say thank you so much for being so generous with your knowledge and skills.
Oh, you're welcome. And I look forward to talking to you more later. Anybody else want to get into the queue line? The queue line is *6 if you want to ask a question. This is our brand new conference call system, which I'm very excited about because it gives us an opportunity to ask and answer questions. So if anybody, is someone else in the queue line now? So if you'd like to get into the queue line, go ahead and I will turn you on and you'll have an opportunity to talk. So just a couple reminders. I'm going to be sending out an email probably on Monday with the recording. When I send that out, I'm also going to be asking for a couple of things from you. One is please let me know what you're interested in for 2015. I'm in the process of scheduling new calls for the new year, and if you'd like to be a part of deciding, please let me know. The second thing is I'm going to be making an offer to you that if you would like to have a 45-minute a diagnostic session to help you figure out what's going on with your block and how can we make it work better. I'm going to be offering these 45-minute sessions for only $75, which is a pretty great deal, and they're going to be held during the rest of October and November so that we can get you kind of ready for the new year. So those are the two things to look at. So if anybody else has any questions, please push *6 and put yourself in the Q&A queue, and we will get to you. And as I'm kind of chatting away here, one thing I want you to remember is that writer's block happens. And it happens to a lot of us. So don't think it's something that happens only to amateur writers. Writer's block happens to writers at all different stages of the writing career. And I think what's different between a beginning writer and an experienced writer is that experienced writers just know it's going to happen and have developed lots and lots of tools. And today's conference has been about offering you some tools so that you don't have to go through all this and so that you can try to kind of just address it. And my experience has been that lots of things come up as writer's block. So, you know, today you might be dealing with being overwhelmed, while tomorrow you're dealing with an information block, well, in 2 weeks you're dealing with being distracted. So, you know, stick in there, diagnose yourself, and keep writing. Well, I'm not seeing anybody in the queue, so I'm going to go ahead and end the call. I want to thank you all for attending the October Right Now Mastermind class, and I look forward to seeing you at our next call. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye.